Wednesday the 18th of November, Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Rabbi Malcolm Herman, the great debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel.
Truth is, originally it was advertised as a topical shiur, which of course is code word for unsure of the time of commitment. But on the one hand, of course, it's Rosh Chodesh Kislev, where they heard references to Hanukkah, but it seems a little early for Hanukkah Torah, so a compromise position is as follows. That I want to look at via the there's a beautiful shiur from Remeir Tzvi Ehrentreu, Sefer Tzadik Levracha, who is the Havdamin Chaim Ruchaim, the brother of Dinah Ehrentreu and the Rosh HaKolel of the Manchester Yeshiva Kolel, and of course the son-in-law of the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva. And through the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel and Hanukkah, he shows us a Pesach to understand, in much broader terms, the whole range of machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Hence the name, the great debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Gemara in Shabbos says as follows. Gemara in Daf Chof Aleph. Gemara says, Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ish Rebeiso. Mitzvah Chanukah is Ner Ish Rebeiso, a candle for each person in the house, a candle for the house. Mahadra Ner Kol Echad V'Echad. But the best position is, or better position, is a candle for each person. Mahadrin Mahadrin, Beisham Emrim Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona Mekan Ve'elech Pelches V'Horef, Beisham Emrim Yom Rishon Madlik Achas, etc. In other words, if the basic mitzvah is the single candle per household, Mahadrin is that each person over the mitzvah in the household lights a candle, and Mahadrin is a debate between Beisham and Beis Hillel. Do you go from 8 down to 1, or do you go from 1 to 8? Beis Shammai says you go from start off with 8 on the first night of Hanukkah, you light 8 candles and you gradually decrease until the climax of Hanukkah is the single candle on night 8. And Beis Hillel says no, you start off with 1 and you build up to the climax of Hanukkah, which is 8 on the 8th night. So the Maharal there says in Chiddush HaGadol, Ki la'olam ha'achron hu b'koyach harishon, that the view of Beis Shammai is la'olam ha'achron hu b'koyach harishon, that you zero in on the ultimate potential that was actually there within the very first night. The koyach, l'olam ha'achron, that which will be there ultimately, is latent for koyach harishon in the initial force. The ultimate possibility is there latent in the initial force. That you focus not on what you see, but the potential that there lies within. And therefore, on night number 1, the ultimate potential that will unravel before us is 8, the potential of a miracle of 8 days. On night number 2, the ultimate potential, of course, is 7, etc., etc. On night number 3, the ultimate potential is 6. So that's Beis Shammai's focus, that you look at the koyach, you look at the potential, even if you can't see it in actuality now. Beis Shammai says, no, we can't look at the potential, we look at what is there before us, as we see it now. And that, says Remeir Tzvi Ehrentreu, is a Pesach, not just to this particular machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but to a broad range of machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, as hopefully we'll demonstrate. The Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos says as follows. In the second pack of Brachos, Eilu Devarim Shebein Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It would be fascinating to go through every one of these and see how they fit in, but he highlights one particular one. And that is the bracha for Havdalah. Beis Shammai Amrim Shabara Me'or Ha'esh. Or Beis Hillel Amrim Borim Ori Ha'esh. Two differences in the bracha over fire on Motzei Shabbos. Beis Shammai says Shabara, in the past tense, who created Me'or Ha'esh, the light of the fire. Beis Hillel Amrim Borim Me'ori Ha'esh. Beis Hillel says you created the lights of the fire. So although in fact the Mishnah itself, at a superficial perspective, looks as though there's two issues between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and the Gemara itself discusses in the next Amud as to whether there is a discussion machlokas about the definition of the word bara, and the Gemara's conclusion, there's no machlokas, is not really about the word bara. About that there is no debate. The word bara means in the past tense, and the word bore can mean both the present and include the past as well. The focus of the machlokas is about R. Do you focus on the one light, Me'or Ha'esh, or do you focus on Me'or Ha'esh, the multiplicity of lights that you see within the flame? And Beis Hillel says, no, you look at the whole range, you can see the lights within the flame, they appear to be different colours, appear to be different lights. And Beis Shammai says, no, you focus on Me'or Ha'esh, you focus on the essential light. So the Chaira, it seems, is the same issue. Do you look at the absolute essence of what this is? The essence of what this is. It may appear to be many different factors, many different components. But But in its essence, it's really one light. It's the light of the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us at creation. It's the light of fire given to us at creation. That's what Beis Shammai says. You look at the essence of what it is. It's absolute essence. Even though it appears different, even though what you see is not, is different from what it is in its pristine sense. So Beis Shammai says you look at the essence, and Beis Hillel says you look at what appears to us in reality. But Payal, you see this multiplicity of lights, this range of colours of lights. And Beis Shammai says, yeah, but that's not the real thing. The real thing, if you take away what you see, the koyach of it, the essence of it, is that singular light. And actually, as the Gemara itself says, therefore that's why, because of that, Beis Shammai says, the Gira Seir is Bara. Because it really takes us back to the very beginning, the light of creation. As opposed to what Beis Hillel says, that because of focusing on what we see, so it's Bore, it's the present tense, it's that which appears to be in front of us. Gemara in Pesachim. Gemara in Pesachim, in Arabic Pesachim. So, middle of Hilchos Pesach, Mozgolo Kos Rishon, you pour out the first kos. The first you make a bracha on the yom, v'achakach mavarech al yayin. Beis Hillel says mavarech al yayin, v'achakach mavarech al yayin. So here's the debate. Beis Shammai says first you make a bracha on the kedushas hayom. You make a bracha on the fact of Yom Tov, and afterwards you make a bracha on the wine. That's the sequence within Kiddush. Beis Hillel says no. First you make a bracha berpi hagafen, and afterwards you make the bracha on the kedushas hayom. Says the Gemara, what's the debate? Beis Hillel says mavarech al yayin. So Beis Shammai says, what's the source of Kiddush over here? What's behind the whole thing? What is it that determines that we have to make Kiddush? It's Hayyom. The essence of it is the day. It's the day that actually triggers the Yayin. And Ukvar Kiddush Hayyom, and therefore the day is preceded as a moment of Kiddush. The day came in first. That's the background of it all. But says Beis Hillel, I mean, Mavarech al Yayin, Machim Mavarech al Yom, Nishayayin Gerim Nekiddush. At this point in time, the day has already arrived. And now, what triggers the Kiddush, which is your action, is the wine. What triggers it's true, if you like, that the backdrop to this, the essence of this, the source of all of this, is the Yom. That's true, but that's not what you're seeing now. What you're seeing now is you have to make Kiddush. What triggers the Kiddush is the wine. You can't make the wine without Kiddush. And therefore, Beis Hillel again focuses on, you can't make Kiddush without wine. Can't make Kiddush without wine? You can't make Kiddush without wine, and therefore what you see in front of you at this moment in time, in the present tense, is the wine, and therefore it's the wine that triggers the Kiddush. But someone says, yeah, but if you unravel all of that, if you go beneath the surface, if you look at what's the source of it all, if you go back to the very origins of it all, of course the origins are going to be the yom, it's the yom that triggers the Kiddush, and not the other way around. Very interesting, the first Mishnah in Chagiga. First Mishnah in Chagiga, Hakol Chayav Maria, goes through those who are Chayav to bring the various korbanos for Yom Tov, Olas Ria, the Olas Ria. And then the Gemara talks about, the Mishnah talks about, the end of the Mishnah talks about the minimum spend necessary on your Olas Ria and your Shamei Chagiga. Beis Shammai Amrim, Hara'iyah Shtei Kesef. Beis Shammai says that for your Olas Ria you spend two Kesef. The Chagiga Mar Kesef, and on the Chagiga you spend one. Beis Hillel Amrim, Hara'iyah Mar Kesef, V'Chagiga Shtei Kesef. The other way around. Beis Shammai says that you spend more on your Ola than you do on your Shlamim. And Beis Hillel says that you spend more on your Shlamim than you do on your Ola. These are minimum spends, not maximum spends. These are minimum amounts that Chazal have instituted in terms of what you need to the expenditure for your karbanos. So Beis Shammai says you spend more on your ola than you do on your shlamim. Beis Hillel says you spend more on your shlamim than you do on your ola. So what is this all about? So actually, there's a very refers to a very lengthy and fascinating Meshech Chochma, almost the last Meshech Chochma in Parshas Yisro. Actually, the Meshech Chochma talks about what in Moshe Rabbeinu, what changed in Moshe Rabbeinu via Matan Torah. What was the impact of Matan Torah on Moshe Rabbeinu himself? At the end of it, it brings this machlokes beis shammai beis hillel, and says, the Meshech Chacham also says, that these machlokes were not particular or technical, they were implicit of a life view, different to Rochim in our Avodas Hashem. For Beis Shammai, as we said, focuses on the absolute, on the absolute potential that's latent within. Beis Shammai always goes back to the very, very source, or the very, very core, which was that moment of absolute potential. Beis Shammai says the potential for human being is to be mufshet nagamri from physicality. It is possible for the human being to completely divest themselves of association with physicality. That's the goal of life, is to control the physical to such a degree that it becomes almost what's the word, insignificant to us. And there, but Beis Shammai says, no, we can't do that. That's not our starting point. That's not where most of us operate. So Beis Shammai says, when it comes to you coming to the Beis HaMikdash, it is the Shalosh Vagonim, it's a heightened moment in a person's spiritual year, and they come to the Beis HaMikdash, and they've got to bring an Ola, and they've got to bring a Shlomim. Says Beis Shammai, what's the focus? Where do we focus their minds in the concentration? On the Ola. Because the Ola was burnt completely. There was no physical pleasure from the Ola for the Makriv. And Beis Shammai says, that's what we have to focus on. That's always got to be our focus. On the ultimate potential that a human being has in its most pristine and undiluted sense. And Beis Shammai says, no, but as we are, but Payal, where we are now, we can't do that. Where we are now, the whole Beis Shammai says, we've got lahaluz gam pshuti ha'am. We've got to elevate people from where they are now. We can't ask them to focus in on where they might be, or where they could be, or where they should be. We've got to start off from where they are now and develop their potential from the moment in time. Again, exactly the same issue. Is the focus the actuality of the position now, or is the demand to look at the ultimate potential, the person in their very core, the essence as is expressed in their deepest sense? Let's have a look at another interesting example. That is a Gemara in Sukkah. Yes, Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Lamed Zayin. Lulav HaGazel. V'heichanoi menanuin, how did they do the nanuin? Mishnah in Lulav HaGazel says the Mishnah, Behudu LaHashem Tefillah V'Sof. When it came to Hodu in Hallel, so we do nanuin beginning and at the end. V'ba'ona HaShem HaShiyana, Dibre Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says you do Hodu and you do Ona HaShem HaShiyana. Beis Shammai says, Af Ba'ona HaShem HaTzeichana. Not just in Ona HaShem HaShiyana, but also you do Nanuim on Ona HaShem HaSlichana as well. So, what is the essence of this debate? So, Rav Tzvi Andre explains to us as follows, very interesting, that ultimately, the difference between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai was the focus of Beis Hillel was on Midas HaDin, on the exacting possibilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us. Whereas Beis Hillel, in broader terms, was on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhag of Chesed to us. Over here, the Gemara brings two reasons as to why we do the Nanun. The first reason the Gemara brings in the Mazayin Beis and Rabbi Yochanan is to demonstrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Shlita over everything. Moloch HaMevi, Misha Arba Rucha Shalom, Malo Moed, Misha Shamayim Va'aret Shalom. So this is almost a demonstration, it's a statement of our belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Shlita over everything. So it's a statement of Emunah. A statement of faith. The second reason brought is Rabbi Kama bar Rokva, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina. Why so? Kedei la'atzo ruchos rois. That over here, this is not simply a statement of Emunah, but it is a procedure to protect us from ruchos rois, from poronis, from negative impacts of our actions. And that's it. So the Chorot says Rosh HaKodesh as follows. That actually, both could be applied to different aspects of Nanuim. The first aspect of Hodu is the first one, Arba Ruchos, that we are by shaking the Arba Miriam in all six directions, we express our belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's totality and Shlita and control of everything. The second one is to ward off, the second Nanuim, for Onah Hashem, is to ward off punishment. With that, we can understand the Machlot between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. According to Beis Hillel, because the primary anhaga with which we focus through the eyes of Beis Hillel is Chesed, Once a person has had that salvation, the Hoshianah from Avera, then Chesed is automatic. Once a person has escaped the potential damage of Avera, then Chesed is automatic. It doesn't need to in the same way. Of course we have to be deserving of it, but not with Midas Hadin, of re-earning it with Midas Hadin. And therefore says Beis Hillel, once you sit on Hashem Hashionah, and you've warded off the potential peronius from punishments, and connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu again, so then the chesed will come. You don't then need, if you like, to ward off the potential damage again for Hatzlacha. Hatzlacha will come as soon as we've escaped the danger of punishment, then the midder of chesed, the Hashbar chesed, will bring us Hatzlacha. Says Beis Hillel, no, it doesn't work that way. It's true that you need to have salvation from punishment, that's true. But you then need to justify the potential Hatzlacha by virtue of Midas Hadin as well. By virtue of Midas Hadin as well, it's not simply good enough to escape the potential of punishment and then rely on Midas Hachesed. It has to be justified in its own right by virtue of Midas Hadin. Says Beis Hillel, therefore, not only for Onah Hashem Hashiyana must have been Anuim, but Onah Hashem Hatzlichon as well must have been Anuim to recognize the potential danger that still exists from the impact of Avera. What's interesting is that in a Sefer, which I know is so well known, Or HaAlacha from Reb Zevin who wrote Modim HaAlacha. You don't often hear this Sefer quoted, you often hear Modim HaAlacha quoted, but this Sefer less so. He also has a very extensive maimer on exactly the same topic, Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And he must bring about 15 examples throughout Shas, which we certainly don't have time to, in terms of this. But it says that actually, of course, there's a primary machlokes in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Machlokes in Hashkafa with the Shammai of Oritz, which was created first. Shammai of Oritz. Beis Shammai says Shammai was created first, representing the ultimate spiritual levels. And Beis Hillel says so. But it also interesting. It says many, of course, machlokes in Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai throughout the Gemaras are in Gezeiras Derabbanan. So you think about the beginning of Beitzer, the first Perek has several machlokas, Gezeiras Derabbanan, whether it's in Muktzah or aspects of Tiruch on Yom Tov or potential risks of being involved in Tzchor in Yom Tov, but many machlokas in Gezeiras Derabbanan. Actually, if you think about Gezeiras Derabbanan, then the same approach works through Gezeiras Derabbanan as well. What is Gezeiras Derabbanan? Ultimately, you have an action which Min HaTorah is permitted. Right? By definition, the Gezeirah Derabbanan legislates for that which was previously permitted. So, Gezeirah Derabbanan means that at this point in time, this action is at present point not prohibited. Nova. It has there's a potential risk that if you involve yourself in this action, it may lead you to transgress Din Daraisa. Whichever Gezeirah Derabbanan you pick, however that risk is explained, whether that is a direct risk or an indirect risk, or a risk of comparison, or a risk of maritime, or whatever it is, but ultimately, this action by itself is not, as a terrorist stands, prohibited. What you see is not prohibited. But there is within it the potential for a risk. Or, putting it in the obvious, if Beis Shammai was to look at it, Beis Shammai was to say, you know what, this is not a pristine action. It's adulterated with potential danger of transgression. And therefore Beis Shammai's approach would be, let's remove the danger of transgression by imposing a Din Derabbanan. And Beis Hillel's approach, for many of them, would be, well, at this point in time, there is no danger here. At this point in time, this action is not prohibited over here. It's not against the Torah. And therefore, he suggests that in the same way that we see in these various other halachas that we've highlighted, that this approach of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel translates through, Beis Hillel focusing on what there is now, and Beis Shammai zeroing in on the potential of what there might be, the same is true in the Gezeiras Derabbanan. There are other interesting examples of how this translates through. The Mishnah in Peah, in Perek Vav in Peah. So, the Mishnah beginning of Perek Vav in Peah, which talks about some of the basic dinim of Hefka. And talks about what is shikha. The shaila is, what is shikha? So shikha is where one of the bundles of produce are left or forgotten in the process of reaping, of harvesting the field. And therefore, it's part of matnas niyam that they're entitled to it. So the question is, what constitutes it? When is it forgotten? At what point do you say it's been forgotten? How many bundles constitute forgotten, or how many of it is just put left aside for you to come back to? When is it forgotten or not? So actually later on, the Gemara in the Mishnah Mishnah Hay in Perivov brings that the Kuli Amra, that if there are Shloshala Aniyim, if you've got three bundles, they belong to the Aniyim, but Arba Olav Alabais, But let's say in one corner of the field you have got four bundles of corn, let's say, and you've got, and you argue is, well, these are forgotten, you've cleared everything else in the field, these are forgotten. And the Balabas will say, no, I haven't forgotten four bundles of corn. I wouldn't forget four bundles of corn. It says, Abba Balabas. What's the halacha if you have got one bundle which is of the volume of four bundles? One which is the volume of four. So Beit Shammai says, is that shikha or not shikha? On the one hand, one bundle is shikha. On the other hand, four is not shikha. Here you've got one, which is like four. So Beit Shammai says, in fact, Beit Shammai says that it is not shikha. It's not shikha. And Beit Shammai says it is shikha. Beit Shammai says it belongs to Ninim. It's forgotten it belongs to Ninim, because it's one bundle. And Beit Shammai says, no, this has the din of four bundles. So Rav Zevin suggests the same sort of concept, that Roynoso, within this this massive bundle, this mega bundle, there's a potential to split up into four bundles. So you can look at it, re-look at it, that's his language. Roynoso, we look at it as though it is four separate bundles. Beis Hillel says, no, we look at it as though it's one bundle. So here as well, so if you like, the Beis Shammai looks into the essence of what it is, or what it could be, I should say. And Beis Hillel looks at the actuality of what presents itself to us now. A very interesting example is Gemara in Shabbos. The Mishnah there is about Shavisas Kelim. Mishnah in Yodzayin Amud Beis in Gemara Shabbos. B'shamarim ein shon diyoy v'samonim v'chashinim. Here we're talking about where basically you have a piece of cloth and you want to put it, you want to soak it in dyes before Shabbos so that over Shabbos the cloth becomes processed. Similar example, you've got flax in a tanner which you want to dry out and they're not going to dry it before Shabbos comes in. An example is ein parosim matudas chayavu oifas with dogim. So you've got traps that you want to set before Shabbos, and they're going to trap the animals on Shabbos, permitted or prohibited. Permitted or prohibited. Beit Shammai says that you're not allowed to do any of these things. Beit Hillel metinim. Beit Hillel says that you are allowed to. What's the machlekes? So obviously at the service level, ultimately it's not Shabbos yet. Is it Shabbos yet? It's not Shabbos yet. Ultimately, you're doing an action in which the actual pu'ula is not a Maisa Shabbos because it's Friday afternoon. The results of this action will happen on Shabbos itself. But the action itself is not an action that's happening on Shabbos. So Beit Shammai says, well, nonetheless, it is prohibited. And Beit Hillel says, no, it's not prohibited. It is still permitted. Why? Because the action itself is an action that's taking place before Shabbos. Says Rav Zevin, it could be that the same issue is true over here as well. He has an interesting expression. This is Chil Shabbos B'Koyach. In other words, then what's you're placing the cloth in the dye on Friday afternoon, an hour before Shabbos, but you know it's going to take 2 hours for the dye to be absorbed. You know it's going to. Are you Mechal Shabbos? No, it's not even Shabbos. You can't be Mechal Shabbos before Shabbos. On the other hand, what's going to happen is a result that you couldn't bring about on Shabbos. So it wouldn't be the right thing, but the result that you couldn't bring about on Shabbos. So Beit Shammai says, well, we are not only for Chilul Shabbos but Pe'el, Chilul Shabbos in actuality, but Chilul Shabbos but Koyach as well. This result is going to translate, this result is going to transmit, is going to become an action which itself could not be done by you on Shabbos. But says, no, what's happening now? What's happening now is not Chilul Shabbos. What's happening now is no transgression at all. And therefore, we're not going to prohibit something now because of the potential of what might result in a few hours' time. The same concept, that Beit Shammai always looks at the potential, the essence of it, or the core, and of course within the core is always the potential ready to develop. And Beit Hillel looks at, quite simply, the facts on the ground as we see them now. Interestingly enough, he also suggests that it could be, the same thing is true in the famous Machlokes Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in Beitza, in the second parak of Beitza. Machlokes Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. So, the Gemara brings in Beitza that Tanya Namehachi. One second. Yeah, Beit Shammai says that you can prepare for Shabbos every day. And Beit Shammai says, "Kol yom avoy ochel kavod Shabbos." Every day, Monday, Tuesday, Monday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he was always eating Kabbalah Shabbos. Matzah behema, noah, omaz in the Shabbos. He found a nice behema, so this is for Shabbos. Matzah acheres noimenu, meniach and shneva ochel shemshono. Avra hilal zokin, midah acheres hoisadosh, shakol mas l'shem shemayim, shneva baruch Hashem yom yom. So the Beis Hillel, if he found Beis Shammai, if he found a nice animal, he would keep it for Shabbos. And therefore, if it be mechabed Shabbos on Sunday, on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on Wednesday, etc. Beis Hillel, if he found a nice animal, he would say Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, I'll eat the animal today, and Mitzvah Shem tomorrow we'll have a nice animal, etc., etc. So just as there can be Chilul Shabbos b'koyach, there can be Kabbalah Shabbos b'koyach. He suggests that because within this you could utilize this particular gift, the Kabbalah Shabbos. So therefore, says Beis Shammai, each one of these items has the potential. You can introduce the concept of Kabbalah Shabbos well before Shabbos, because there is the potential now to utilize it for Shabbos. Beis Shammai says, when you can't be Mechabbalah Shabbos on a Sunday, on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is not Shabbos. And the action, the activity involved in now can't be covered Shabbos because it isn't Shabbos yet. So Beis Hillel's approach was Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. We'll eat it today and that's the way it is. And Mitzvah Hashem, we'll have B'tach on the Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide for Shabbos as we need for Shabbos. Whereas Beis Shammai says, no, just as there can be Chilul Shabbos B'Kach, there can be covered Shabbos B'Kach as well. So let me just round off with the following idea. We know, of course, that actually elsewhere, Rav Zevin says that in essence, the machlokes in Beis Shammai Beis Hillel in 8-1 and 1-8 was also about sumirav asay toiv. Sumirav, he says the koach of fire has two kochas. It has a fire of productivity and a fire of destruction. And if you like, the difference in symbolized between these two fires is whether you're building up or taking away. The fire of productivity is the fire of building up, the fire of creativity. Whereas the fire of removal is the fire of moving from 8-1. So because Beis Shammai's approach was that we've got to always focus on the essence, on the most pristine, on the absolute that there is within here, either in terms of its core before it became adulterated, in terms of potential as it develops. So Beis Shammai's approach is you start with one, you focus on the koach of fire of sumeira before you move to asei tov. And therefore, the sumeira, the removal, the fact you're moving from 8-1 symbolizes the removal, the koach of fire to remove, rather than the koach of fire to build. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no, we have to start off with asei tov. If we're going to ask people for sumeira, it's too difficult to do. Let's at least start with where people are. Let's maximize their potential from this moment on, and hopefully that itself will generate a future. And of course, through this whole perspective, I mean, Rav Zevin says it's difficult to see this through every single machlok, especially Beis Hillel. I'm sure in the Masechta that you're currently learning, thinking about whether this is, whether how it fits in, I'm learning a Mishnah in the first parak in Kesubas, machlok, especially Beis Hillel, they're about if a woman inherits prior nisuin, what right she has post nisuin to machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. It's interesting to think how this would fit through. But certainly in terms of why we always say that Bizman Azer, we paskan like Beis Hillel. Because we don't live in a world of absolute purity, a world where we can connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu the way we would like to. But Yemos HaMashiach, we will be able to follow Shiv Beis Shammai. Because that would be the world where all of potential is exposed and all of potential is realized. And that will then be appropriate for Shittus Beis Shammai in Peri Yomina.